Well, I can safely say that there are two musicians who need no introduction in front of me here. Umbertica Os Corlum, Donal Lunny, August Paddy Glacken. And, well, they've been Eggshenem Lekela on a Shocktodi since the 70s. And they're still creating music. And that can only come from musicians who truly know and believe in their craft. Donal, of course, a central figure in the trad renaissance, midwaves of Planxty. And following that, he founded the Bothy Band and one of the most distinctive and skilled fiddle players in Éireann, na Paddy Glacken. August Tom, talk of free on Bertagwiv, Evena Heese, a studio alum. And you're sitting here in studio with me. Plenty of time for chat, but tos no me the nish leshin gyol, so much of reg. Out. Tommy the Lord, shocked in the Gaelga, August Marshin Boylem, foiled to occur stock as Tom Toga, Fuishev, Exchenum, Erclore, Classic Drive. And it's lovely to have you both in here. So if you've just joined us after that lovely piece, Paddy Glacken and Donal Lunny here with us for our, I suppose, our Irish special here as we head into the St. Patrick's weekend. And I know you're all looking forward to it. We're really going to set the tone for you with some wonderful music, as you just heard. So that piece that you just played for it, or pieces?
Mm-hmm. Well,
whoever likes.
Paddy's call.
The first tune is the tune learned from the piping of a man by the name of Tommy Reck, called Top It Off. And the second one was a tune put together by a great Dublin fiddle player by the name of Tommy Potts, called The Butterfly.
Yeah, lovely. Mm. All right, well, while I was sitting here enjoying the music, just watching the two of you play, and knowing how long you know each other, how does it feel now when you're playing together? You know that feeling?
What could you say? Looking back, it's you'd need binoculars. Let alone a very good memory to go back to the very beginning. But no, there were great times starting off, and sort of exciting phases along the way as well.
But now, when you're playing away, the two of you, you just sit down there and off you go. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I suppose we take it a bit for granted in some ways. You know, we kind of know. You know, even though we mightn't play together for a long while, you know, when we get together again, we sort of... Mm. We know where it's at for the pair of us. And that we just do what we do, you know. We both play in different other shapes with other people.
Of course, yeah.
And that's just the way it works out. But in this case, for me, it's always very, very pleasurable to do it. Mm-hmm.
Well, you said different shapes there. You're a job. But your heritage is Donegal.
That's right.
And you play in the Donegal style. I mean, how different is that? I mean, for you, you're from the Pale. So when you started playing...
Yeah.
But do you notice that difference in style?
I am conscious of the Donegal influence in Paddy's playing. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, compared to other regions in the country. And for years, I just sort of took it as one big melting pot, but... Things began to separate out after a while. Yeah.
Well, for me, you know, with the Donegal, I don't believe myself that I play in a Donegal style.
Right.
I'm greatly influenced by it.
Yeah.
Absolutely, no doubt about that. And I play many, many Donegal tunes. Yeah. And the actual sort of execution of it, I wouldn't regard myself as a Donegal fiddle player.
Right.
But you know, because growing up in Dublin. You know, I was exposed to many, many different ways of playing a fiddle and hearing different types of music.
But the influence from Tom was your dad.
Yes,
he had the main influence at an early age, did he?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. He played the fiddle, and so he was the man who made sure I played it. He didn't give me a choice.
You're smiling when you're saying.
Yeah, he didn't give me a choice. Like, I was just sent to music lessons, and that was it. And he wanted me to be able to play it, as indeed my two brothers as well.
Yeah,
and that's just the way that was. And I after kicking and screaming for a couple of years, you know, I began to get to like it, and going to Donegal was a big element of that. Absolutely,
And with the bouzouki, because you had it there, were you the first to bring a bouzouki on stage?
Well, not exactly.
Because I can't remember seeing it. The first time I saw a bouzouki on stage was with you playing.
Yes. So, that was probably because of the context. But I know that Johnny Moynihan was playing a bouzouki well before I even saw one.
Really?
And Alec Finn too. Yeah. There was a band called the Cana Band, and there was a pub in South King Street called the Cana Inn.
Yeah.
And the Cana Band were the residents. And one of them was Alec.
Yeah.
I remember seeing them just through the doorway one afternoon walking past. But Andy gave me a bouzouki, and I had another instrument made, modelled on it, but with a flat back.
Yeah.
And
who would have made that for you?
Well, that one there was made in Japan by a man by the name of Ogawa-san.
Right.
Yeah. A lovely, lovely man, and who makes gorgeous instruments. But the flat back bouzouki, eventually became known as the Irish bouzouki.
Yeah, in a nutshell. Well, the two instruments, I mean, they blend. I mean, they just sound great together. And I think our listeners would love to hear a little bit more. Would you be up for playing a little more for us?
Yeah, we'll try a hornpipe this time.
Lovely.
This is a tune which we learned from a great fiddle player by the name of Sean Keane, who used to play with the Chieftains, who passed away last year. Extraordinary fiddle player. And this is a tune from West Clare that I think that Sean got. We just call it Sean Keane's hornpipe.
Lovely. That's very nice, yeah.
Right.
In your own time. else the Rish gone down. You introduced the Sean Keane hornpipe, and to play a beautiful snow air like that, if I don't ask you what it was or a bit about it, I'll be hung.
Yeah,
okay. Hung out to dry.
That's a slow air I learned from John Doherty, fiddle player from County Donegal. I spoke about Donegal earlier on, and he was a man who had great influence on the way I kind of think about music. And that's one of the tunes. It's a three-part air, so...
Lovely, yeah, okay.
Kind of strange one, you know?
Yeah, enjoyed that, thank you.
And it's called Paddy's Rambles Through the Park.
Right, okay. Well, you mentioned music and the effect it has on you, and one thing that we have noticed, both of you, and just having a think of how I'd ask you this, but you're both known as magnificent traditional musicians and in the folk scene as well, but contemporary music has crept in there along the way with both of you. Mm. And in fact, both of you, where it was the Loud Contemporary Music Society last year where you played Terry Riley's seminal minimalist piece in C. Now, that's a real move away. Mm. You know, do you enjoy doing that?
Well, though, it was kind of it was a bit daunting at first.
Yeah.
I personally didn't know what to expect from it, and the fact that there were various phrases which he had written down, which I had trouble deciphering anyway myself because I don't usually read music. I was a little bit unnerved approaching it, but once we all started playing together, I realised I had a function playing the bouzouki, and that is that there's a pulse in it.
Yeah.
And that was, once the tempo was set, the pulse went right through it on the key of C. So I tuned the whole bouzouki to the key of C,
and
I rattled along with everybody, and it all hung together very well. It was lovely.
Even as you're telling me that, explaining it, you're playing it. I can see. And Paddy, for you, contemporary music. I mean, in the early days, I mean, you were experimenting with synthesizers and everything. You know,
Jolly and Jackson was doing the experimenting. It wasn't me. In fairness.
Well, you played along.
I enjoyed doing all that sort of thing, and enjoyed sort of any sort of time I did dip my foot into it.
Yeah.
And including up until last year, to the Terry Riley piece. I've always liked contemporary music.
Yeah.
And the man who brought the Terry Riley piece to Dundalk has been a man who has delivered the most wonderful pleasure to me over all the years musically.
Yeah.
The Loud Contemporary Music Society, Eamon Quinn.
Yeah.
Because he's put the most extraordinary, he's created an extraordinary musical space in Dundalk.
In Dundalk,
which is quite extraordinary. And it's just the range of music. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, but bringing you in from the traditional sect into all of that, I just think that's fantastic.
Mm.
You know, and for young people to see that, I just think it's good too. One thing that was going through my head when I was going to talk to you, and particularly in relation to how traditional music is fitting in at the moment. I mean, for me growing up, and lots of my pals, a lot of the exposure came from going to live sessions, and a lot of those were in pubs or in GAA halls and that. And with the change in society, between the smoking ban and with drink driving laws and things coming together, and you know, for society and that way. Mm. Do you think venues, it has changed a little bit, the outlets for traditional music?
Yeah, I think it is changing all the time. And I think things like the drink driving ban has kind of affected the pubs down the country and out in the countryside.
Yeah,
that scene has kind of just faded away, which is a great pity. But on the other hand, more of us are alive today because of it.
Yeah, but a lot was passed on in those venues. I mean, because young people would arrive to play, you'd be invited in to play, and you're just picking up tunes as you went. And I just felt, was there, you know, where do you go now to do that in the countryside? Are you going to homes?
It is a question. I wouldn't be too sure.
I think there still are pub sessions around. You know, there are, and that will always be there.
Yeah, I know. I only meant that. You know, a lot of them have closed. That was all. The amount of venues, of course, they're still going. Yeah. Mm.
Well, one of the big problems you see for the music has is that there's a very, very high participation rate in it now.
Yeah.
Many, many, many people are playing it. But we need to kind of have an audience commensurate with that.
Yeah.
And so many people are actually playing it now that there aren't as many people to listen to it.
I hear you.
And if you put it out there, somebody has to receive it. And that's
that's well put.
You know, that's one of the problems with it, you know, as I see it. But there are, like, just in terms of the numbers of people playing it, it's phenomenal.
I mean, going to the FLA now is like going to Slane with players, just players.
That's right. Yes.
There is so many. So that just bears out what you're saying.
That's the point I'm making.
Completely.
Everybody, you know, participates.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like, one of the basics of any type of music you're learning is to listen to it.
Yeah.
You know, so we could do it a few more listeners.
That was very obvious during the COVID times.
Yeah.
When a lot of music was performed by musicians to an imaginary audience.
Yeah.
And it was then that, I realised how important that sort of exchange was between listener and player.
Oh, yeah.
And musician. And it really felt it when it came back.
Yeah.
It was like the presence of an audience sort of completed the thing, yeah.
Yeah.
We did a concert in Limerick, UCL, one afternoon, in a, I think, a 400-seater theatre.
Yeah.
And there was an audience.
Go away.
You know, it was kind of a strange feeling. Mm-mm. You know, it just was a very, very strange feeling, you know, but there you go. Mm. But you absolutely need people to receive the music that you're putting out there.
Yeah.
It's lovely to play at home, you know, for your own sort of pleasure. And that's great. You'll never tire of that. But when it comes to the actual performing, you do need an audience.
But the word perform means it nearly is doing something for a reward. And that reward is people loving your music and acknowledging it after you play. You know, to perform to an audience. You don't perform to yourself. You perform to an audience. I think you've just hit the nail on the head so well there. Mm-mm. But, we have an audience listening who love what you do, and I'd love if you'd play a few more tunes for us.
Right.
Would you fancy one now?
We might try two jigs this time. A tune composed by Junior Crehan called The Mist Covered Mountain. And the second tune is, I think, The Old Hag.
Right.
We'll give that a go. Yeah, great. Thanks, Paddy. Thanks, Ronald. Thank you. Well, a couple of more jigs there from Paddy Lacken and Donal Lunny on this St. Patrick's, well, Friday special here on Classic Drive. And delighted to have two of the greatest traditional musicians with us in studio here in Classic Drive. And one thing that a very conscious St. Patrick's Day coming up, and put you on the spot now, either of you. Have you got a St. Patrick's Day memory? You know, something that sticks out for St. Yes. Patrick's Day, because
it's called the Railway Cup Final.
Oh, yeah.
In Croke Park. Yeah. And there used to be part of that. Yeah. All the pipe bands would come together.
Yeah.
To play in Croke Park at halftime in the game. It was the Railway Cup was the provincial sides played against each other. Yeah. And it was a big occasion. 30 or 40,000 people at it. But the thing for me as a child going there was to see maybe 200 bagpipers up and down Croke Park. Yes. That's my memory of it. So
fantastic.
We'll remember Peter Brown in that word. Anyway, absolutely. You'd think he was in heaven for that.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. It was a phenomenal sound.
Yeah.
And the Black Raven pipe band from Lusk. And there were all these great bands. Great
that's some name.
Yeah, the Black Raven, that's right.
Yeah. What about you, Donald?
I remember it mostly for the weather. Yeah. You know, lovely... Yeah. Blue sky with fleecy clouds, and then it'd be lashing rain. So whatever about parades and that, it was the weather was very unreliable. But it was a lovely. Yeah. There was a nice sort of a festive feel about Paddy's Day. It was a sort of a. It was like an oasis in the middle of Lent.
It was quite, there was a certain innocence about it as well. I mean, it didn't have all the razzmatazz that goes on today, and there was a certain kind of a pride in it, I suppose, as the national saint and all that. It hadn't become sort of commercialised to the extent as well.
But I think for young people still in schools, they're still making the badges and the flags and all of that. And St. Patrick, you know, up to a certain age, certainly the banish of the snakes, and it's still there for a lot of them. But you know what you mean about the other side of it. But we look forward to it.
Absolutely.
We sure will. Now, I can't have the two of you in the same space without talking about the Bossy Band and Plankstee and all of that. And maybe Paddy, the Bossy Band, because you're a founder member of one of the greatest traditional bands ever, one of.
Well, it's not. I don't think it's for me to make that judgment. But one of the most pleasurable sort of
1977. I got to see you. Got to see the band. That was my first time. Right. I really exposed to a band of that caliber in traditional music, and off we went to buy the albums of that. Yeah. But so to me, it had that effect.
Well, I was only there for the first 18 months of it.
Yeah,
But certainly, it's an experience that stayed with me the whole way. You know, playing with people that I knew, that I enjoyed playing with, and there was an energy around Dublin at the time, and Donal was coming off the back of Plankstee and other things, and we were all open to it, open to this energy. Yeah. And when we sat down and played together, I think we kind of understood that there was an energy there.
Oh, absolutely.
It was just there, great.
Energy bordering on passion.
Yeah.
But people you enjoyed playing with, I mean, that says it all as well, especially for traditional musicians. You have to really,
you? And the thing about it is that, even though I left the band, I've played with every single one of them consistently over the years.
And can I just say as well, acknowledgement and the achievement, the Lifetime Achievement Award for Triana was super, and of course she played a big part in that, and I know how emotional that must have been for you as well, but lovely to see that, and that's part of this whole enjoyment thing, and the Bossy Band, since we mentioned them in that.
I don't think if we weren't enjoying it we wouldn't be doing it.
This is true, but it was so exhilarating to play behind, I mean, for Micheál Triana and myself as the rhythm section, to play behind Paddy Keenan and Matt Malloy.
Yeah.
Like that trio, mad racehorses. And Paddy, you were replaced by Tommy Peoples, impassioned playing.
Oh, absolutely.
And then Kevin. So there was that sort of element in it of wildness.
It was very noticeable when we came back to do the documentary. Like the first day in rehearsal, not having played together for 50 odd years or whatever it was. But I tell you, but within about 2 hours, I mean, you could feel the engine warming up.
That's right, too, yeah.
I certainly could. I could feel the engine starting to.
It was only 44 years.
The jets firing, you know, whatever it was.
Could you really, yeah.
Yeah, you really could, you know. Yeah. So that's, you know.
Funny,
you're
both.
Either.
Do you see? You're both animated. You're saying, it was coming back. You know, it's funny the effect.
Yeah.
And you went off on a bit of a tangent then through Mulligan. Mm. I don't know where you got the time for producing, I actually wrote down a few of the names, like Mark Knopfler, of course, but people, Indigo Girls, Clannad, Kate Bush.
Mm.
You've produced all of these albums.
Well, I produced tracks here and there.
Well, your name is down on the
I was just something I loved doing, and when there was time, I did it. You know,
yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of it was. Distracting as well, you know, sort of just leaping from one thing to another. I have no idea how many sort of projects like that I was involved in.
But the diversity in the music is amazing.
Well, you know, that's all to the good, I think, you know, whatever.
Well, it is, of course, yeah. And you mentioned the documentary there for the Bothy Band. The Bothy Band, of course, got together again.
Yeah.
And actually, Planxty... Mm. Just before that, got together again as well, after a long absence.
Mm.
Now, we were talking about audiences a little earlier. I mean, you could still be doing gigs for Planxty or the Bothy Band right now, because you turned into what I would nearly term as super groups, because the venues were now huge and filled, and people could not get enough of it. In fact, and you toured Planxty as well, so, you know, isn't that amazing that so many people just want to go and enjoy that?
Yeah, it's lovely, yeah. Yeah, it's gratifying.
It's, it's very special.
Yeah.
It's very special indeed.
Appreciate it.
Did you think, though, you know, that like you said, 40 years later, you're doing the documentary, how did you feel about the reaction when going back after all those years to huge crowds?
Well, yeah. Well, for my part, I was really nervous. It was like, is everything going to go all right? And we kind of pulled it off skin of the teeth, but the reaction was fantastic. Oh, it was lovely. I mean, there's a great deal of nostalgia in it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there was warmth and appreciation in it. You know, it was two-way.
The night we came back to do the thing in the complex in Dublin, I mean, the amount of goodwill in the room towards us before we played a note at all.
Yeah,
and that was worth, you know, that was what you call a real push start.
Yeah.
You know, it got us going, you know, and you were able to respond to that. And it goes back to what I was saying earlier on about having to be able to, it's a two-way thing.
Yeah.
The audience and the player, you know.
Yeah.
It's a very, very special relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Well, you know what, saying that, I think that's a lovely way to conclude our conversation. It is a special relationship, and both of you have held that with anyone who has heard you perform, and long may that continue. And listen, thanks a million for coming into us on Classic Drive on this special time. You know, you'll all shock in the Gaelga August. Darren Shockton in Fáilteric. So it's Gormil Magbeth.
Good kid, well, you then. Anyway, this
August, a piece of Kewal con Dolomar.
Better a couple of reels. You'll just come nine, but General Johnny Hills.
Lanarag, so. Gormil Magbeth.